Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of Smiley Said It. Today's episode, I wanted to talk about friendships, something that has been on my chest for a little bit as far as growing and trying to navigate who is my community and who's a part of that. So let's get into it. Not long ago, I lost a really good friend of mine because, well, domestic violence was involved. I'm having a moment of trying to figure out not just who I am, because I think I know who I am, but more so who fits in my world and accepts me for who I am. When we think of friendships, we think of having a bond, being able to communicate anything, having the understanding that your friends may not be there for you when you need them, and that's okay. But when you really need them, are they around? Is there any form of connection in regards of having the same goals, being supportive of each other when it comes to those goals, but also showing up? The type of friends that I have in my circle are very, very different. Some of my friends actually are parents, married. Some don't have kids but are married. Some have kids but aren't married. And I have friends that are single and want children and a husband, but just simply don't have it. Me, on the other hand, I am single and I don't want kids or marriage. And I'm also not heterosexual. I have friends that are heterosexual, friends that are gay, friends that are bisexual as well, friends that are pansexual, transgender, and everything in between. Now, having a diverse selection of friends definitely helps me in the long end as far as like who I can go to if I want to catch a movie or if I want to catch a festival in LA during LA Pride. If I want to travel to, I don't know, Sweden and go snowboarding in the wintertime, I never felt entitled to anybody's time because I believe me being independent has served me the capability of not taking a lot personal when it comes to my friends not showing up, say, to be at the finish line when I did the Boston Marathon Tough Ruck, where I did 26 miles. No one showed up. People knew I had it going on, but no one showed up. But I also knew that it wouldn't be possible for majority of people to do it because even though I was training for a while, I knew that no one's going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning just to be there for like 8 hours waiting for me to go to the finish line or be at the end or show up late, you know, to welcome me at the finish line. Now, some people may think that's pretty sad that I don't have any friends that I consider friends to be there for me during such an accomplishment. But in reality, that's pretty much how I would lose friends, is by the expectation that everything I do in life that I believe to be a huge accomplishment, that I'm always going to have a crowd behind me cheering me on. Now, I can understand why that bothers, you know, other people. And that's actually a rightfully thing. Yeah, like sometimes it does hurt a little bit sometimes when I don't have certain people in my friends group that I would think would be more supportive of certain things I do. But also sometimes I may not even mention it to them. So how would they know? I may not even think of the fact that they may actually support me in this situation if I did indeed mention it to them. But because I already know them, I feel like they're not going to want to come with me to Aruba the last minute. They're not going to want to climb Mount Everest and spend $25,000 of their life savings. And that's why I believe in having friends for different things, because not in this world are you going to have so many best friends that's going to be there for you all at once. You're just not going to have that. So when it comes to friendships, I believe that relationships should be treated the same. I am fast to walk away. I'm quick to walk away from someone that either disrespects me, disrespects my time constantly, or puts my life in danger, or literally lies about me, talks about me behind my back, things of that nature. Just no good people, you know? So there was a situation that happened. I believe it was a few years ago. It wasn't too long after I came back from living in Atlanta. So a few years ago in 2021, I had a really good friend that I connected with over drinks. And her and I were very cool. We haven't spoken to each other in a while. We decided to grab some drinks at this like shipyard that sold drinks and alcohol and food. And it was really, really cool. We were catching up. I did meet her then boyfriend prior to meeting up after a while of not seeing each other. And when I did, you know, meet her boyfriend at the time, it was at their apartment. And, you know, he seemed cool. He was a Kevin Samuels fan. And if you don't know who Kevin Samuels is, he's no longer alive. But he was a part of a YouTube sector that pretty much was about misogyny and giving men advice on dating, finances, and all types of stuff. But majority of his platform was a tool to shame women, where a lot of incels would go and, you know, say a lot of horrible things about women. Anyways, I'm not going to get into a whole Kevin Samuels spill. The moment he said he was a Kevin Samuels fan, I literally was like, okay, let me test this out. And I did. And I asked him, I was like, why are you a Kevin Samuels fan? He's like, well, he speaks the truth. There are some women that are delusional. They need to be put in their place sometimes. And he just tells things as it is. Whenever I hear men say, well, he's just being honest. He's just saying what it is. And it is one of the most misogynistic things that I've ever heard in my life. Just by that, I already knew, okay, she's dating this type of guy. I never mentioned it to her, but because she and I were supposed to be really good friends, I was surprised that she picked this guy. You know, when you have a friend and y'all talk about relationships and types of men and whatever, you guys find out what type of men you guys like. And we would talk about assholes and men that are misogynist. And so I was shocked that she picked a man that was a fan of Kevin Samuels, because I thought she was into not having those type of men around her. But to my surprise, a lot of us will compromise our boundaries and our expectations and standards just to have a man. That is something that I've learned amongst my female friends. If you don't know why he likes a misogynist, I'm asking you, why do you like him? Right? You are the company you keep, are you not? So if you know a man likes another man that talks highly disrespectful of women, why would you continue to date him? Now, I find out why a little bit later during our get together after not being with each other or seeing each other for a year. I think it was like a year. Her and I are catching up and she's like, yeah, we broke up. And I'm like, oh, what happened? You know, just arguing a lot. And, you know, he was manipulative, but she never said that he was abusive or put his hands on her. So her and I are drinking, and we decided to go to his apartment because she wanted to grab some things. I left my car at the shipyard because I didn't want to drink and drive. And I was like, I'll just take a taxi back the next day or Uber and just get my car, whatever. So I got in her car and she was like, all right, before I drop you off at home, I just want to stop by his house to get some things. Now I'm just like, okay, well, they seem cool enough, because why would you go over there if you guys weren't so cool? Now, again, I didn't know that they were in a way worse position than she explained when we were having drinks. So I'm like, okay, cool. You grab your stuff, whatever. Can I use the restroom? So we go up the stairs and he's on the second floor. And once you're on like the second floor, his door is right there. So there's like a little tiny platform. So he opens the door. I go in, greet myself. And I was like, hey, can I use your bathroom? He's like, cool. I go in the bathroom. All I hear is commotion. Now, remember, I'm tipsy as hell. Like I am pretty much drunk at this point, not sloppy drunk. Like I have, you know, some whereabouts, you know, about what's going on. But I started to hear commotion. So I'm like, oh my God, I heard screaming. And I'm like, oh my God, let me hurry up and wipe myself. All right. So I wiped myself, pulled my pants up, washed my hands real quick, got out. This man is dragging my friend by her hair through the apartment. I kid you not. That's the first thing that I witnessed when I opened up that bathroom door. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? Whoa, 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 whoa. When I tell you there was nothing behind that man's eyes, I mean, it was pitch black. It was pitch blackness, kind of like a shark, you know? And there was just nothing there. And I'm yelling at him, like, let go of her. Stop. He refuses. So he's pulling her, trying to drag her, I'm thinking, out of the apartment, because that's where he was heading. So I'm literally yelling, please don't do this. Stop, stop. He refuses. He stops. And I'm like, yo, and I start punching on him. literally. And he pushes me off and I'm still pushing because he now choking her. She looked like there was nothing there either, you know, because she clearly was tipsy as well. But when I tell you, I was so confused. And so he refused. So I started punching him again and him and I start now tussling. I fall down that little flight of steps. We were rolling, honey. We were tussling. We were rolling down the flight of stairs that I mentioned, you know, on the second floor. And I didn't have no shoes on because I had left my shoes by the door. I try to take my shoes off before I walk in anybody's house. That's just how I am because everyone has a different culture. And I just want to respect people's, you know, cleanliness. Anyways, I'm panicking because I don't know if he's going to grab a knife or a gun. So he goes back. He runs back up the steps and across the street is a mobile gas station. Again, I'm bare feet. I don't know where my cell phone is. I think it was in her car when I retrieved it the next day. And so I have no cell phone to call the police. I have no shoes on. So I run across the street crying, begging for help, saying, hey, you need to call 911. He's going to hurt her. They're confused, of course. They're like, what the hell? They thought I was probably a prostitute or a drug addict. I don't know. They looked at me like I was crazy because I was crazy. I was bruised up. My hair was all a mess. My wig was shifted left to the right from falling down the flight of steps from beating his ass. Let me tell you something. Oh, I got some bruises too. But they call 911. The police come and there's two men. One's a white man and he looked like he's an Afro-Dominican. You know, they come to the mobile gas station where, you know, I called them and then I directed them across the street. So they went across the street. I walked across the street. She's on the steps outside of the, you know, the apartment and out of the apartment. And she looks distraught. And so they get out of their truck. They approach her. They're like, hey, what's going on, miss? She's like, he left. He went in the back. And they're like, okay, what was going on? So I'm like, this is a domestic violence call that I had you guys call. I know how dangerous it can be for you guys to come to these calls. And I can understand if you're frustrated with the situation, but here is what it is. And I explained what happened. She denied everything. Every single thing that occurred before I had called the police. That's when I knew I can't be around her. My life is in danger. I cannot compromise my life by trying to help someone else in a domestic violence situation that wants to protect her abuser. I can't do that. Regardless of why she would protect her abuser, because you already know how people like to explain why people that are abused don't leave relationships. I don't even have to get into that. But it does not excuse you putting your friend's life or anyone's life, whether it's a family member or coworker, life in danger that are trying to help you get out of something like that, especially when I call the police and wasted resources and time, according to you, to sit there and lie, to make me now look like the fool. Luckily, the white police officer, he was very nice and patient. I don't know what was going on with that Afro-Dominican man, but he had an attitude. Because it seemed like he just didn't want to be there, which I understand. I told them that ahead of time. Okay. So the guy's like, you know, unfortunately, we get these calls and, you know, the person that is being abused, which is mostly the woman, usually don't want to press charges. They don't want the man to be arrested. They go back to the guy, and that's what makes it hard because our lives are put in jeopardy, even though the woman called us or someone called us and she just doesn't want to prosecute him. It happened, but she ran up the stairs, back up the stairs in the house and bust his apartment door open because I guess he locked it when he went in the back. It's a 3-family home, and he went, I guess, in the back where the back porch is. And she got arrested for breaking into his house because she wanted to retrieve, I guess, some of her items or whatever. But I was in Boston. So they're like, well, we can't take you home. And I'm like, well, I don't have my keys. I don't have, you know, my phone, nothing. So I had like a few bucks on me in my pocket, luckily for a taxi. So like, we can take you to the police station and you can call a taxi from there if you have some money. And I was like, okay, fine. That taxi ride was like $50 to get home. Anyways, I was pissed, okay? I had work the next morning. I had the worst hangover. I was bruised up from fighting that man. I was just out of it. And at the time, I was working at a shelter for mothers, which had women that were in domestic violence situations that I were there to protect. So imagine going to work in an environment of women that have experienced domestic violence and are running away from domestic violence from a situation the previous night that involved domestic violence. So I was triggered. I was distraught. I was confused. I didn't know where our friendship was going. I didn't understand why she would not tell me that that man was abusing her and then bring me over there knowing that and knowing how I feel about abusers. She's lucky I didn't kill him. She's lucky the first instinct I didn't do was grab a knife. She's lucky because I would be locked up right now. I would have caught a charge. After work, the next day, I call him like, yo, I need to get my phone. I need to get my hat, I need to get my keys and all that. So luckily, my phone was in her car because I did my iPhone search. So I, you know, had my sister drive to her to pick up my phone and my keys. And she looked distraught, you know, she's like, yeah, we have to go to court and settle this out, whatever, because I kicked in his apartment door now that she's sober. And she apologized. It just seemed like I can tell that she was very sincere in her apology, but it just didn't save what I went through, at least not like within 24 hours. I was still very hurt and upset and felt betrayed. And she said she hopes that we can still be friends and da da da. So I gave her a big hug and I said, I hope you press charges. She said she would. And I highly doubt that she did. Maybe from embarrassment. I know she was embarrassed. I would be too. And so I was like, well, where's my hat? I had just bought this nice hat from H&M. And she's like, it's at his house. Oh, I forgot this part. So she's like, you can go, you know, back there and get your hat. And I'm like, what? Why would he let me back in this apartment after I beat his ass? But never mind. So I was like, I'm all set. I'm not going back to get the hat. But I forgot to tell y'all. So the night of the situation, the fight, his mother lived in the same complex as he did. But it's like split directly in the middle of two. If that makes sense. I can't describe like three family houses if you're not like from Boston or San Francisco has three family homes. They have a lot of those, but it's a certain structure, right? If you watch Full House, it's like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like that type of housing. Anyways, so long story short, his mother was oblivious to it because I didn't have a jacket or anything, you know, and I was cold. So she came out during all the commotion after her son left in the back door. So when the police came, she came out and, you know, her and I were having a conversation while my friend was being escorted into the police car for trying to break into his apartment to retrieve her things. So his mother and I were just having a conversation before I ended up getting into the back of the police truck or whatever, so they could take me to the police station to get a taxi to go home. Her and I were talking and she's like, yeah, I don't know what's going on with them two. Them two just been arguing. All they do is fight and arguing. And she contributes to it. And I'm sitting here like, oh no, I already know what type of mother this. I already know what type of mom she is. Just off of that. Just off of her saying that. I'm like, this must be a boy mom that her son can do no wrong, you know, because if that's the case, What do you must know all about your man. So she was kind, you know, she gave me her hoodie to use or to keep or to wear or whatever. It was a green Celtics hoodie. I'm not even a Celtics fan, even as a Bostonian, but I was like, all right, it's cute or whatever. I'll take it. And that was it. And she was like, I wish them luck. I don't know. But I'm like, well, I mean, I get that you can't do anything, but girl, like, your son is an abuser, because the fact that my friend told me that he's been beating her behind for a while after I went to her place to retrieve my phone and my keys, because she did tell me that. She was like, yeah, he's been. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that he was beating your behind? I'm embarrassed. And da-da-da. And I was like, yeah, but like, this is where I come in and say that just because you are friends with someone does not mean that you know them or everything, or they're not going to share everything with you. And that's her right. And I was like, I get it. I would be embarrassed. I would be hurt. I would know that my friend would try to do something about it, but I don't want her to do anything about it because it may put her life at risk or mine's, you know, at risk. And yeah, she was like, I just didn't tell you. And I was like, you know what? Well, I could have lost my life last night. And, you know, we'll talk. We'll talk a little later. We didn't talk after that. She had texted me, I believe, maybe 3 or 4 days after that and apologized, you know, and said, hey, she wants to see each other again. And I was very short with her. And that was it. I just never talked to her again. That was it. So I wish her the best. Again, that was about 3 years ago. And yeah, I'm all set. I'm totally all set. Again, with friendships, I believe that you're not entitled, again, to anyone's time or lifestyle. Whenever a friend comes to me and she tells me like, hey, I want this done. I want lipo. Whenever I have my friends come to me asking me about a guy that they like or a guy they're dating, or especially when it comes to like relationships and stuff, they should already know where I'm coming from based upon my lifestyle, based upon my background. But because I give the advice that I give sometimes based upon my perspective, some may think that I'm either miserable or that I'm lonely or that I'm hurt or that I'm too tough or I'm too strict when it comes to men and dating and relationships. Even though they've witnessed, they've been told about the men that I've been in relationships with and everything that I've gone through in life, from sexual assault to rape to everything in between, abortions, etc., lies, all that, you know, being ghosted after 4 years of being in a relationship with the guy, all these things, and they somehow then project what their desires are in relationships in a man, which is marriage and having children, and they want the guy to pay all the bills. And to me, as a womanist or a feminist, that you have the right to want that. You should be able to get that, but also make sure that you have your own money. If you want a guy to provide and pay all the bills and lead, even though I don't believe in that mess, because again, I don't participate or practice patriarchy or patriarchal norms. Whenever I hear my friends say, I want this, I want that, to the point where they're on dating websites, they have dating coaches. I don't care about relationships that much, especially heterosexual relationships, as a bisexual woman that is more attracted to women than men anyways. So for me, I cringe at, I hate to say this, because there seems to be some sort of desperation from women that desire marriage and children, because the loops that I see them going through just to get one, and it never ends well, is exactly the type of advice that I give prior to them being hurt or having to bail them out of jail because their baby mama is jealous and put all types of nonsense that I've seen my friends go through with men. I come off as being quote unquote defensive when I'm being offended. So if I say, I don't want this, I don't like that, or I have no desire to be in a partnership because of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, people lack communication skills, people lack accountability, the emotional intelligence is not there, you know, all these reasons as to why I don't want children or marriage, for some reason, for someone that I consider a friend to say, you know, well, you just give it a try, you know, I understand that you're hurt. And it's like, who said I was hurt? So that's where I'm like, all right, there's certain things that I tell certain people, and there's certain things I don't tell certain people. And that's the boundaries that I have. Because if I have boundaries, then I can't expect for someone that desires kids and marriage to understand fully me not wanting any of that. But I can understand why they want that, because it's a social norm. But what happens with social norms when it comes to women, especially in today's society, is most likely they're going to get the short end of the stick in relationships and marriages. Point blank, period. According to data, when it comes to single motherhood, when it comes to divorce, the rates of divorce and how women are left off bad and worse than they were before marriage, And so for me to give a woman a tip to make sure that she has everything that she needs before she gets married, and to make sure she requires communication the first moment that she gets to what she desires in a man, and if he doesn't like it, she should be able to walk, and I try to convince him to be this mold that she wants him to fit into as her perfect man, or even settle. I don't believe in settling, but some people do, because again, when women want children in a marriage, they have a clock that they have to beat, right? And so with that comes the change of our dynamic and our friendships. You know, people that want different things. I want to travel the world, so I most likely don't want to buy a house. I have friends that want to buy a house, but they don't want to travel the world. And if they do want to travel the world, they only could do it 1 week at a time, if that, or 5 days, because they have family. I don't have family, so I have all the time in the world to stay longer than 1 week in a certain country. When our lives change and we start to do certain things that no longer includes our friends that once were included into our lifestyles, that should be okay, right? My friends aren't going to be the same friends that I had 10 years ago. My friends aren't going to be the same friends that I had in high school. And that's okay. And friendships are not meant to always last. And that's okay. It's okay to be different. But what's not okay is to not shame your friends' lifestyle choices or anything like that, but just be supportive, even if it's something that you don't want. And I've been this way since the beginning, where I'm like, y'all know I don't want no kids. Y'all know I don't want no marriage, but I will support y'all. I will show up at your baby shower, your wedding. I'll buy the gifts and all that other stuff. I'll take care. I'll even help plan it if you want me to. When you don't have a supportive response when it comes to something that you know for sure will make you happy, something that will fulfill you, and something that doesn't involve anyone else, that's where I feel like people have a problem. And I don't want to, again, come off as being dismissive of other people's opinions, because they matter. And there are friends that will tell you some shit that you don't like or you don't want to hear, but it is best advice for you. And I can identify that. I can identify when I have a friend that, you know, makes total sense, but I'm being stubborn right now about this one thing that I want. But when it comes to like life-changing decisions, I feel like people should be a little bit more careful with how they address something that is not actually a negative thing, right? Me not wanting kids or not wanting a husband is not a negative thing. But for some reason, I will have certain people try to convince me otherwise. You see what I'm saying? As opposed to me giving them advice to not date or marry this man because he has a past of manipulating and cheating. You see the difference? I would be called the hater, but not the person that is enforcing me to risk my life to carry a child for a man that might not be there 50% more likely than not when I give birth. It's okay to not have friends that no longer serve you or your purpose in life, and vice versa. If you don't serve your friend's purpose, let them go and learn how to just simply be a better individual. That way you can attract the type of people you want. I like certain things, certain music, certain foods, certain lifestyles that a lot of my friends don't. I can only reach out to them if I know indeed that they're going to not just be supportive, but if you're not going to be completely supportive, give me some tips. Give me some guidance. Don't just say, what's wrong with you? Why would you do that? I would like feedback in my friendships. I would like transparency, and it not to be like one-sided.